morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Innergex Renewable Energy's conference call for the 2017 first quarter results. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique des résultats du premier trimestre et de l'exercice 2017 d'Innergex Énergies Renouvelables. At this time, all participants are on the phone and the internet are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to Karine Vachon, Communications Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'd like to specify that this conference will be held in English. Members of the media are invited to ask their questions by phone after this call. During this presentation, we will refer to financial measures that are not recognized according to International Financial Reporting Standards. Please refer to the non-IFRS measures section of the financial review for more information. Our speakers today will be Mr. Michel Letellier, President and CEO, and Mr. Jean Perron, Chief Financial Officer. I now turn the conference over to Mr. Perron.
Thank you, Karine. Good morning. For the three-month period ending March 31st, 2017, production was 88% of the long-term average, due mainly to the below-average water flows in British Columbia and below-average wind regimes in both Quebec and France. Overall, production increased 9% compared to Q1 2016, due mainly to the contribution of the Mesgi'g-Ugju'sun Wind Farm and the Big Silver Creek Hydro Facility commissioned in 2016, and to the 10 wind facilities in France acquired in 2016 and 2017. Revenues for the quarter were 12 million higher than in 2016. This 19% increase is attributable mainly to the contribution of the same facilities I just mentioned, all with higher average selling price, which was partly offset by lower production at our hydro facilities in British Columbia and at our Quebec wind farms. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter was 3.3 million higher compared to Q1 2016 due to the increase in revenues, but partly offset by higher operating expenses, including a non-recurring 3.2 million water tax reassessment for years 2011 and 2012. Finance costs totaled 29.3 million compared to 19.5 million in 2016. The increase is due mainly to expense related to the new facility described and to positive inflation compensation interest on the real return bonds attributable to higher inflation during the period compared with negative inflation compensation interest in 2016. Depreciation and amortization expense totaled 29.6 million compared to 19.4 million. The increase is attributable mainly to the same new facilities. Unrealized net gain on derivative financial instruments stood at 5.1 million, resulting mainly from an unrealized net gain on the foreign exchange rate swap due to a favorable change in the Canadian and euro foreign exchange rates. Excluding the gains and losses on financial instruments and the related income taxes, the net loss for the three-month period ended March 31st would have been 6.3 million, compared with net earnings of 6.8 million in 2016. The decrease is attributable mainly to the 9.8 million increase in finance costs and 10 million increase in depreciation and amortization, partly offset by a 3.2 million increase in EBITDA. The below-average production this year compared to an above-average production last year also explain the smaller adjusted EBITDA increase in comparison to the increase in revenues. Overall, a lower production than long-term average for the first quarter partly offset the impact of our newly acquired or commissioned facilities on our EBITDA. Raise in finance costs and amortization and depreciation resulted in a net accounting loss for the first quarter of 2017. However, our trailing 12-month free cash flow ending on March 31st reached 73.7 million compared to 77.2 million for the same period in 2016. Our payout ratio stood at 95% compared to 84% in 2016. The decrease in free cash flow is mainly due to greater scheduled debt principal payments and higher free cash flows attributed to non-controlling interest, which were partly offset by higher cash flows from operating activities before change in non-cash opening working capital items and realized losses on derivative financial instruments. The increase of the payout ratio is mainly due to a slightly lower free cash flow than in 2016 and by higher dividend payments as a result of a higher number of common shares outstanding. Since the beginning of Q2 2017, our production has been below the long-term average, mostly due to the hydroelectric facilities in BC and at most of our wind farms. This concludes my review of the results. I'll be happy to answer your question later on during the call. And I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Jean. Good morning, everybody. In French, we say the exceptions confirms the rules. So I guess that in statistic, in our diversification of the portfolio, this quarter is probably an exception. You know, it's hard to believe that we didn't have any. We had a low hydrology in BC, not because it didn't rain, it's just that it snowed a lot, and that weak wind in Quebec and weak wind in France. So I guess that sometimes even a great diversification doesn't work, so it's probably the exception. I'd like to believe that. So we're still focused on the long term, as you know, and a quarter is short. But a little bit surprised to have seen that, to say the least. But nonetheless, we're focusing on developing our project and making sure that the construction program was online. So all in all, I'm happy with the activities that we can control. The weather is something that we're trying to control by diversification and having good asset and a good long-term forecast, being conservative in establishing the long-term forecast, but sometimes I guess that even a good diversification and a great portfolio could have a little bit of hiccups in terms of quarter by quarter. So that's behind us, and we're looking forward, obviously, to have our assets being available and producing on the long-term average. Interesting night also for some of you, I guess, that was watching the BC election. Naturally, BC is a big market for us, so we were interested. Interesting result, to say the least. The minority Liberal with the backing of the Green can be fairly positive or slightly positive for us. The Green have been supportive of renewable energy and the IPP industry in BC in the past. We had had some discussion with Mr. Weaver over the years, and he's been a great supporter of what we're doing, especially project being developed with First Nations. So who knows, maybe a minority government supported by the Green might help some project to be promoted in BC. So I would say that it's slightly positive, the outcome of the BC election. France election was certainly, I wouldn't say a relief, because I guess most of people thought that Macron would win, but you know, you never know these days in politics. So we were happy to see Macron being elected and probably confirming the path forward to have more renewable energy, mainly wind and solar in France. So I'm happy on that subject as well. In terms of what we can control, the construction schedule and the development project, happy to report that Upper Lillooet has been put in service, as you know. Obviously, we'll still have some early stage bugs to clean up over the next few months. That's very usual in terms of early commissioning of the projects. Boulder is the next to come. We were a little bit disappointed. We were hoping to start the 72-hour test. According to BC Hydro, we have to do 72-hour test, where 52-hour has to be produced over 72 hours. We were hoping to start that early May or last week. We had a slight mechanical setback relating to the deflector of the turbine. Has been fixed now. We're hoping to start the test by the end of the week. So hopefully by next week we'll be in COD and boiler, and that would complete the program. As you know, we've been working very hard on those two hydro assets in BC. Actually, Upper and Boulder were bid in the 2006 call, so it's been 13 years to develop and build and put into commercial operation. The good news is that the hydro will last forever, so took a bit of time to put together, but the long term looks pretty good. As a reminder, these contracts are under 40 years contract. These projects are under 40 years contract with BC Hydro. So very happy to have these projects in our operating portfolio. So glad to report on that. If we want to touch a little bit about the development, we held a conference call last week regarding the acquisition in France. So I think that everybody had the information, and thanks for the support and the writing about this transaction. We're very happy, and we're hoping to close it in the next month or so. So we'll be looking forward to integrating these great assets to our portfolio as well. If we're in France, we might as well continue on the strategy there. As we mentioned in the past, we're willing to deploy capital when we think it's accretive. We want to make sure that we get to have an equilibrium between operating assets, construction assets, and development. Working hard since last year in establishing a greenfield portfolio. As we report, we have more than 100 megawatts now that will be eventually ready to deploy into the contract for difference that the government of France has committed to promote. They're talking about 15 gigawatt of new contract to be supported by these type of project, by these type of contract. So the strategy is obviously trying to develop greenfield project and deploy them into those future I wouldn't say call, it's a little bit like a fit, but adjusted for the price down the road. So happy to look at these. And the nice thing about it also is that they extended for 5 years the duration. So instead of 15 years, those contract will be for 20 years, which is a good thing. Reduce a little bit the risk or the chance or the expectation on merchant prices. So we like that. It's also on the negative side. I wouldn't say negative, because in France sometimes it's easier to develop smaller projects, but they're limiting the amount of turbine by being 6 and 3 megawatt per turbine. So theoretically these projects could not be in excess of 18 megawatt. So that's fine with us. We're aiming at making sure that we will have a good portfolio of greenfield project to be deployed in that opportunity. Other than that, we're still very open to M&A. As we discussed last week, we want to make sure that we're creating value also, and that we're willing to do GV, we're willing to do financing engineering to enhance our return on equity in Canada. So we're seeing quite a bit of action there, and I think that we'll be busy on that front as well in France. If we're coming back to Canada, Canada has a little bit of activities, as you might know. We'll be ready for the call in Saskatchewan. We actually have deposited our proposal into the pre-selecting phase. Just a small reminder, it's a 200 megawatt call for wind or solar, not for wind mainly, and the contract could be around 20 years. So, happy to look and be be active on that market. Alberta is a little bit more complicated for us. We think that Alberta will be very, very busy and very, very competitive in the future call. We're trying to find a different angle to attack that market, still working on it. New Brunswick, NB Power has one call outstanding, which is the small community First Nation program of 40 megawatt. We have participated in that call, still waiting for the result, and they're preparing a small call also for community participation, and we'll be participating also in that call. If we go back now to the future project, the future market that we're focusing is the U.S. There will be a lot of activities in the U.S. in the next few years, as you know, a lot of projects are being put forward into a fast track in order to secure the PTC before the end by 2020 or 2021. So a lot of activities, maybe some opportunity there, but we do think about the future in the U.S. As I mentioned in the past, the PTC and tax equity structure is not necessarily the best fit for the type of company we are. Although the structure there has evolved and are a little bit more flexible than in the past, I still believe that the U.S. market will see some great opportunity for us in the future. And to be honest, I wouldn't mind having the PTC go and have eventually a renewable project being competitive, because I guess that the technology and the resource in some area are very good in the U.S., and I think that renewable energy can compete against other source of energy in the U.S. And I think personally that a regular structure where we could put where we can put project finance and long-term financing in place is a little bit easier for us to compete in the U.S. So we'll be focusing on the U.S. We'll have foot on the ground in the U.S. By the year end, and it's a matter of looking into the long term. Obviously, we'll be trying to be active in the M&A and to be able also to participate in future calls in the U.S. But we're establishing ourselves in the U.S. for the long term. The Latin America market is active also. We're busy in doing due diligence on asset. We have been there for a year and a half at least in Peru. Looked at a few projects, still looking into some. Confident that we'll get busy in on a real transaction in the near future, but we want to make sure we do it right for the first time in Latin America. Mexico is still an interesting market and very dynamic market. As we participated in the last two subasta, we find out that the competition was really difficult, and the volatility with the exchange rate and the long-term interest rate in Mexico was quite volatile, so we're cautious about Mexico. Nonetheless, we have spent quite a bit of time trying to understand the market, so if an opportunity that makes sense arises, we'll be in a position to take advantage of it, but we're very cautious about it. So I guess in conclusion, we're very happy to have been able to put Upper Alouette and Boulder and MU in the last few months in service. As you know, we have a very strong portfolio now, very strong asset base with the long-term view. We're now ready to go outside, and we have shown that our ability to do some transaction outside Canada certainly focused on creation of value for our shareholder abroad, but we are cautious investors. We are there for the long term, and we want to make sure that we're creating a future growth for the company that is based on the long term, we want to grow the dividend, and we want to have that dividend to be sustainable, and we'll make the action and the investment with all the time that in mind. We are looking to have a reasonable exposure to long-term prices of electricity. We are going to continue fixing our long-term interest rate to minimize the risk of rising interest rate, and we also going to manage the exchange rate in a way that is going to be not putting our dividend at risk in the future. So we are focusing on growing the dividend and having it to be sustainable. So thank you, and we'll be willing to take all the questions. Thank you.
This completes our presentation. We now invite you to ask your question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from David Quezada with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys. My first question, just on the payment you made on the water rights in BC, I understand that you're going to go ahead with an appeal there. I'm wondering what that process will be and, you know, how optimistic you are about the outcome.
Well, the process, that it's an appeal in front of court, and we also already have made some similar appeal for the following years. Unfortunately, up to now, we have not been successful. Now we're going to be appealing in front of the BC Court of Appeal for the following years, but eventually for the actual assessment, 3.2 million, the similar appeal will be made. We also have some more arguments for this 3.2 million because it's also related to were they able to reassess after the fact. So we have a bit more arguments. Are we going to be winning? We're not sure. One thing that is important also to notice is that these are related to the Irishman Hydro facilities, which although we consolidated in our numbers 100% of the amount, in fact we only own 50.01% of these, and the remaining portion is not really affecting our result or our free cash flow.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's helpful. My other question, just going back to your comments on the U.S. market, I'm wondering what your strategy might be for entering there. I appreciate your comments that it's kind of a longer-term play for you. Would you consider trying to acquire a 100% PTC pre-qualified project right now, I guess, if those are available, or maybe competing at the 80% PTC level, or are you kind of more focused on after the tax credits kind of go away when you look more to expanding over that time frame?
Well, when I see the long term, if we establish ourselves in the U.S., is on the basis that I think the U.S. will still be a growing market after the PTC and the that doesn't exclude our willingness to do a transaction or a joint venture with a developer that would require some equity to help bring this project forward. It's just that we want to make sure that the financial reasonability of the assumption are taken. I guess that the biggest challenge we're having in the U.S. is the fact that people are quite optimistic, well, the sellers are quite optimistic on the price of electricity in the future. But personally, I know that some of our competitors are quite bullish on the price of electricity in the States. I just want to be cautious on that aspect because I think that in the U.S. there's a lot of natural gas that can be extracted at a fairly cheap price, and there's a lot of natural gas. So I certainly don't believe that coal will have a strong comeback. I think that natural gas will be the alternative fuel of the future, and this is going to set the price of electricity down the road. So I think that renewable energy will be competing and be very competitive, and the cost also of replacement or new installation in the future I see still some good economy on wind, and certainly I think solar will surprise us still in the future. So therefore, I'm not so bullish about the price of electricity in the future. I just want to make sure that whenever we're committing, we're committing with assumption that are making sense, because it's easy on paper to make a decent return if you're too bullish on the long-term price of electricity. And that's basically the hurdle we're facing in the States. I think people to some degree are a little bit more optimistic than we are. And I don't want to commit our equity, your equity, to our shareholder, to something that we can say, well, we'll see in 15 years from now, or we'll see in 12 years from now. We're not that type of investor. Whatever we're making investment is for the long term, and I rather tell you that we have a reasonable return, but that reasonable return is based on conservative assumption. This is how we invest. We invest for the future. We don't just want to create a hype around our stock and just pretend that we have a great return. But then, year 10 or year 12 come quite fast. You know, believe me, I was here in 1990, and I thought that 20 years was very, very long. But boy, it comes quite fast. So, just want to make sure that whenever we're committing for the long term and for the right reason.
No, that's fair enough. Thank you for that caller. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Rupert Mayer with National Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rupert.
So we haven't talked about potential for growth in BC for some time, so interesting to hear you comment on the outcome in the election and the potential for BC. Can you remind us what your project pipeline looks like in BC, and what do you think you'd need to see to be able to move forward in BC as far as, say, contract price or standard offer price might look like?
Well, the run of the river, there's some still run of the river that could be done between 8.5 and 10 cents, which was roughly the old SOP program. I think that wind can be developed in those range and maybe a little bit more aggressively. The problem also in BC is the permitting, and it's a little bit heavy. So small project in BC still have this, I would say, fixed cost. That is a little bit of an issue to bring the price to be a little bit more competitive. But I'm referring to the potential development in BC that if for some degree government change their view, there's maybe some First Nation participation opportunity. This is probably the angle that if there's some development in BC, it's going to be through partnership opportunity in order to help the First Nation settle maybe some claims for pipeline, for BC Hydro electrical line, or whatever. So this is where we think there will be some growth if there's an opportunity. I don't think they'll come back with big RFPs unless Site C is stopped, which I doubt it would happen. So our focus will be trying to piggyback on the good relationship we had with First Nation in the past in BC, and if there's some pocket of opportunity, we'll try to take advantage of them.
And are you still developing projects in BC?
Well, sure. We have wind. We have Newquay Isle wind. We have project that we have land. We have wind measurement. We have support of First Nation. But obviously, we're not spending too much money on those. And we have a lot of water licenses. We have probably around 600, 700 megawatt of water licenses in BC. That we are trying to keep alive in terms of making sure that we get to have a good water flow management in order to understand the quality of the resources. but we're not spending too much money in it because obviously a lack of guidance into potential RFP is making us cautious on how much we spend in BC.
Okay, great. A quick follow-up on the U.S. market. You mentioned the PTC structure is not the best for you. You likely need a tax equity partner to move forward in the U.S. But looking at your own outlook for cash taxes today, with your current pipeline, how would you expect your cash taxes to evolve?
Well, Jean Perron is an expert in trying to push that limit. We're getting into, and I don't want to have Jean to be too committing on this, but the latest forecast, we're not paying a material amount of cash before 2024, 2025, and still working to be able to push that forward as soon as we get more project. We're trying to always be creative in restructuring ourselves so that the idea is to try to push it as far as we can. So 2024-25 is right now where we would start paying some taxes. I think we're confident to be able to push it a little bit further down the road.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Your next question is from Sean Stewart with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple questions. Notice that there was no update of the 2017 guidance, and you gave some specific numbers on EBITDA and free cash flow in the annual report, and no update in Q1. Safe to say that despite Q1 generation, the outlook is more or less intact, excluding the impact of the French wind acquisition. Any thoughts on that?
Well,
that you can give us?
A quarter can be, as you know, we're definitely not focusing on quarter. This quarter we were short of $6-7 million, but next quarter we can be up that same amount of money. So we're not so concerned unless it continues, the trend continues through the years. And we didn't want to do too much update on the French acquisition for this year because they're not all in operation. So depending on when they're coming in, we'll have definitely a different aspect. But I think that the French asset acquisition will provide for some upside and probably compensate to some degree on the low first quarter. But I would say that we're keeping our guidance of what we have provided, and hopefully we'll try to exceed it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't reading too much into it. Second question, just further to your comments on Peru. Should we still be thinking about just one project in the, the near term? And I think last call you mentioned it was just subject to some permits. Any more detailed update you can give us on that permitting process for that project?
I just don't want too much to commit in Peru yet until we have a project. You know, it's a new market. I'm just saying that we're working on trying to get small hydro project in our portfolio. I'm confident we'll succeed in having small project. It won't be a big step to start with, but I think that it's a path forward. Like I said, I think that whatever we're looking into a market, it's for the long term. We just want to do the right first step into a new market before getting it too explicit about it, but we're looking at quite a bit of opportunity. So, but sometimes, like I said, Peru looks a little bit like the early days of BC. There's a lot of small developer, a lot of people that have been optimistic on cost, maybe too optimistic on the resources.
So when our guys are taking a closer look to the numbers, we're a little bit disappointed sometimes. So we're confident we'll get there, but it takes a lot of messaging and a lot of due diligence, and hopefully the knowledge we have and our ability to change some engineering and bring a little bit of more flexibility in terms of financing will help us being able to commit to one or two projects. They're not that big, but what I like there is also is that whenever you get the leasing or the right, the water right is for perpetuity. So I like that idea of developing project that we'll be able to own forever. So that's one feature we like very much in Peru, the long-term ownership of the land right and the water right.
Okay, thanks for that detail. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Nelson Ng with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I dialed in late, so you might have mentioned it, but can you comment on the recent flooding in Quebec and whether that had any impacts on your facilities?
No impact whatsoever. The flooding is definitely in the Outaouais Basin and the St. Lawrence River, and it's coming. It's being fed also by Ontario, and in Ontario we don't have any issue with. We're on the Trent River basin, and also in the Pick River area. So unfortunately people with flooding, and that's sad, very sad, but sometimes people are getting too bold in getting closer to the water edge. It's great, but they forget that the statistic sometimes can haunt you, and our installation, we usually use the recurrence of a 1 in 1,000 years in order to protect ourselves, and sometimes it's even 10,000 years. So a flooding of 1 in 20 or 1 in 30 would not affect any of our facility. There's no issue with our facility. I'm very sad for the people in Quebec, but playing close to the water, you have to be careful, and that we have learned over the years.
I see. Okay. And then just a quick question on the U.S. strategy. You mentioned kind of boots on the ground by the end of the year. Are you referring to, I guess, actual Innergex employees located in a U.S. office, or are you referring to like partnering with a U.S. developer, or are you kind of flying people back and forth? Can you just comment on the U.S. strategy?
We are interviewing U.S. established person that works in the industry in the U.S. That doesn't preclude that for some reason we could do also a joint venture with a U.S. developer, but we will have our own employees, American citizens that have been active in the U.S., and we'll have a small office in the U.S. by year-end.
Got it. And then just on that, so do you also have, I guess, an office and employees in Mexico and Peru? I presume you have employees in Peru, or is that through partnering as well?
No, we don't have any employees in Peru. We're flying employees, although we have one engineer that is a Peruvian, and he still has some family in the Arequipa area. So for him, it's I guess it's coming back home. So he's there quite a bit, and that definitely is helping our reaching out for a local partner in Peru. The idea would be, the perfect situation were to be in a partner with a local developer, so that we would still have a local developer that would be in contact with politics and all that stuff. So that would be our perfect solution is to come back with a partnership in developing projects.
I see. So the quick question for France. So, I guess similarly in the U.S., a number of developers, PTC qualified a bunch of turbines, and they're going to build it over the next several years. In France, I don't think you price qualified any projects, but I presume other developers might have price qualified a bunch of projects. And are you kind of looking to find those developers and partner with them to build out those projects, or is the focus more about like participating in future wind RFPs in France from an organic growth perspective?
Both, Ned. We're trying to do the same thing as we could somewhere else, is that in if we find an M&A that makes sense and is accretive regarding the risk profile, I think we've been successful in doing so lately. I think that the type of return close to 10% on projects that are operating or near term being in operation, for us that makes sense in terms of risk, and we're perfectly willing to get into the value creation there. If we can get a little bit earlier with the developer, obviously we'll try to enhance the return, because you know, if you get it a little bit earlier, you have a little bit of risk, and we want to make sure that we also create our organic growth by being aggressively on the ground and locking land option and having a full scale greenfield development from our own employees. So basically, I wouldn't say we're indifferent or agnostic to do one of those, always into the relation of a good return versus the risk we're taking. And the only limit we could have to some degree is the amount of hedge that eventually will be put on our balance sheet. So far, we're having discussion with our bankers, and I think we can create ways where it can minimize our exposure on our balance sheet and have type of a project finance security on hedge on location in France. So we're trying hard on this. That's my only concern, I would say. To deploy capital in France is making sure that we have at a reasonable cost to our balance sheet the hedge in place, and making sure that the return is aligned for the long-term alignment to our Canadian paid dividend.
And then just on the M&A side, I presume you're going to look at similar kind of structuring arrangements with Desjardins Pension, and I guess, do they have any kind of limitations on what they're looking to invest in, or are they pretty much open to investing on as many opportunities as you see?
Well, I think that Desjardins has some future appetite, but we're not exclusive with Desjardins. There's a lot of other Canadian pension fund that would love to be able also to participate, or other fund. We like Desjardins. We've been doing business with Desjardins, so it's easy to discuss and to get to the bottom line with them. But I guess that the structure we're proposing is attractive and can be suitable for other pension fund in Canada.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. Those are all my questions.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the 1. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Your next question comes from Jeremy Rosenfield with Industrial Alliance. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just a couple of cleanup questions on BC. Michelle, if you can just comment on the weather conditions and the snow versus water, and maybe if you can dig into your memory and compare it to some previous years. I'm digging in my memory, and I think maybe during seasons in the past where there has been heavier snow, you tend to have stronger Q2 results. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it has been a wet year for the the winter for Vancouver. It's just that in BC in general, the lower part of BC has seen a lot of snow. So snow averages are high. It's higher than average. And the spring has been late. So it's been snowing even last week in the mountain range. So even April was slow, but now it's picking up big time in May. Hopefully, you know, in the springtime, it's always tricky, because even if you have a lot of snow, if it's start to be really warm and then you have a lot of rain over the snow, then you have high flow in the rivers. And since we're run of the river, we might not be able to capture the full benefit of it. But if it's a slow spring, and it's then we'll see a lot of runoff until maybe July or even August to some places. So I'm optimistic because there's a lot of snow up there. It's just that you never know how it's going to melt in the next few months. But there's definitely a lot of snow on the mountain range.
Great. And then just another cleanup on an issue from the past. There were, you know, forest fires that hadn't impacted your on your construction activity in the past. And can you just comment on where you are with the insurance company, if there has been any progress made related to that issue?
Yeah, when we did provide the total cost of Boulder in Upper Alouette, that includes our insurance claim, but we have made a contingency on those payments where we think they are conservative. So if we have a better settlement, then we may see $2-3 million better costs come to us. But you know, insurance claims are always tricky. And that's why we have taken the contingency in the total amount of construction cost that we have provided. So the contingency is already there, and hopefully whatever settlement might be a little bit more beneficial to the project if we're successful.
Okay, good. Thanks for that clarity. That's it.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Ben Pham with BMO. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to go maybe just to get your qualitative thoughts, Michelle, on how you think about investing development dollars, you know, whether it's France or I think you mentioned the U.S., and if you were to kind of look back, you know, 5 years, let's say 5 years from now, and you look back today, and you, how would you think of yourself as being successful with the development dollars you're investing in France or even the U.S. this year? I mean, what things are you going to look at to set that? And how do you guys think about how much to invest in general? I mean, because you can really deploy a lot of initial dollars and maybe gain some success in certain areas, but not success in other areas. So I'm just wondering how you guys think about that overall.
That's a very good question, Ben. And it's that's the one that I'm focusing with my team, making sure that the money we're spending. And you're right, this is the most risky part of our business, the early stage development and greenfield development. That's our R&D to some degree. But to come back to France, I would say that where we're focusing more is making sure that we get to have some good land and that the resource is good, but also that in France, obviously, you have a lot of permitting and constraints, so it's not something that we're not accustomed to, because, you know, when you've done business in Quebec and to some degree in BC, you learn to be flexible and be creative in your ways to develop projects. So this is where I'm focusing more in terms of success, is that the 120, 130 megawatt of greenfield project that we're developing now, I'd be happy if we could get, 200, 300. It's a little bit of a race because depending on the long-term demand in France, projects that we're developing today are going to be ready to build in 4, 5 years, 3 years. You know, it's a long process. I know that Macron has committed to try to ease a little bit and speed up the development of greenfield project in France, but historically, it has been at least 3 to 4 years before being able to start building into a project in France. And to some degree, if you have some challenging in court, it can be extended to 5 or 6 years. So the question is, how fast can we deploy good project and be in a position to deposit them into future future call, future opportunity? And that's where I guess we are focusing, making sure that we're speeding up that process. But it means that these projects will have to go through environmental permitting and what have you, and obviously that has a cost. But I think we have a small team there. We have some experienced people, and we're trying to select projects where we think we have a high rate of potential success and not too much community pushback. So we're trying to minimize the project where we would have to fight the local community. Those are not the project we like to do. And by using experienced people in France and making sure that they are supervised by our own team here, the idea is making sure that we hopefully will have a high percentage of success on the project that we're working from a greenfield perspective. So this is probably where I'm going to be happy or not in 5 years from now, Ben. Happy, given the complexity of France, if we can have a couple of hundred megawatt of our own greenfield project in the next 5 or 6 years, that would probably be a good success given the complexity of developing project in France and the fact that those projects are maxed out at 18 megawatts. So it takes quite a bit of project in order to get to 200 megawatts. Does that answer your question, Ben?
Yeah, no, that's pretty comprehensive. And just clarify, is your strategy, you said, is it every 5 years rolling basis?
Yes. We're hoping to. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking my questions. Thanks, everybody.
My pleasure.
Mrs. Vachon, there are no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you, everyone, for taking part in this conference call.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect your lines.